Right? Yeah. Now, can you hear me any better? Now he's going to have to turn me down. I'm not kidding you. They got out of the car because the car was spinning. Mud. They got out of the car. I watched the guy get out of the car, and he sunk down almost to his knees. And I had dress shoes on and thought to myself, this is going to be funny. I had to stay in the car while they dug the car out. And that's a humbling thing for somebody who thinks he's still young. Back then I was 50. Now I'm 61. Last night it was raining and dark. I'm trying not to drive very far from my home at dark. It's very difficult for me. So it was humbling. Your pastor drove me home and his wife followed. I'm younger than him. Just wanted to tell you that. But in health, maybe I'm much older than him. I don't know. I thought for sure he was younger than me until he told me. He's old. Did you know that? You're old, man. That's old. Now he's not old. Pastor Roger, I'm glad to kind of get to know him now because he's for real. I don't think he's fake. He's for real. And that's what has the church move in the right direction. You have to have a pastor who loves his wife and wants to move along for Jesus humbly. So I dressed down because I started giving away my suits. I gave away over 75 ties. It's like, okay, so I have one that I can bury people in. But I lost 20 pounds, and I have one that fits me when I'm 210 pounds, and I have another one that fits me when I'm 260 pounds. I'm currently 230 pounds. So one is too tight, and one falls down. How do you know when you lost too much weight? Your pants fall down. That's how you know. Tonight's a serious message. It's going to start off with a really serious, awesome story. And it's a true story. But first I want to tell you, tonight is about peace. How do you have peace in your life? The secret to peace. The first two messages, evening messages, the first message was an introduction to our ministry, to myself, and to my passion for Jesus. The second one, Sunday night, was on persecution, enduring troubles and trials in your life is when God's power shows through you. Today I want to talk to you, and it's easy. I'm going to give you easy steps to have a more peaceful life. It's easy. It's actually easy to follow these steps. God lays it out really perfectly, and I didn't even know it until after I had the stroke that took some of my abilities away. I had to rest, and I had to say, okay, Lord, now what's next? They said it's going to take 6 months to recover. You won't recover much more after 6 months. So now I've got these things that I can't do anymore. And I was whining. Anybody whine at all? Grown man whining. There was a grown man whining. So I'd be like whining, praying. Felt like I was a two-year-old. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. The same thing he said to the Apostle Paul. I'm going to show myself the power of myself through your weakness. So adopt some of the weaknesses and move on. Stop pitying yourself. And then I started studying passages of scripture that dealt with what's next and how to get rid of anxiety when you feel like you can't do it anymore and how to have the peace of God that passes all understanding. So tonight, that's what it's on. The secrets to supernatural living. The first one, when you're going through persecutions and trials, trust God right in the middle of that. He's allowed you to have that trial and that difficulty. So now trust him in the middle and realize that your weakness is a way to show off his power. And number two, The Apostle Paul experienced all these things and then wrote down some secrets that we need to apply to our lives. So the secret to peace. But first, I'm going to teach you some Arabic. Okay, the word imam. Would you say imam with me? Imam, like imam. That's the word for pastor in the Muslim faith. Sunni and Shia. Sunni and Shia. They're the two different kinds of Muslims. The Shia Muslims believe they are direct descendants, blood relatives of Muhammad, who they say is the greatest prophet. The Sunni, many more Sunni than Shia, they adhere more towards what the Quran says, where the Shia believe that there's more being told through their bloodline. But they're both very connected. A person who's Shia thinks that they're much greater than all other Muslims. They're like a hybrid. This is a story of a woman from Iran who no longer can live in Iran because of persecution. Here's how she came to know Christ. She hated Christians, would take part, if ever needed, in killing Christians because they needed to be rid. They were a blight on the society of Iran, where most Shia Muslims live. She hated Christians, hated them. She would often blaspheme the name of Jesus. And by the way you say Jesus directly from the Quran is Isa al-Mashiach, like Al-Qaeda. Now, ready for this? Isa is Jesus. It's literally the way you say Jesus in Aramaic. So people would have called Jesus Isa. That was the language he spoke. Al is the word the, and Mashi is the word Messiah. So the Quran says that Jesus is the Messiah. Whoa. That's pretty good. Whenever I talk to a Muslim, I remind them of that very quickly. I say, hey, is it true that the Quran says that Jesus is the Messiah? Yes. Oh. So do the Gospels say that Jesus is the Messiah. I said, we have something in common. They just look at me. And many times they'll just want to have conversation. So this Shia woman, when she was talking and giving her testimony, I actually was a little bit afraid. She was going over ways that they would trap people who believed in Jesus and then put them in prison. And if they continue, put them to death. She said she would blaspheme Jesus, make light of Jesus. And then one night when she was sleeping, she had this sense that she was in the middle of the ocean. Maybe it went to sleep on me again. There it is. And she was in a boat. And the waves were kind of whipping around her. She had no paddles. It was like the size of a small fishing boat, maybe a 3 or 4 person. There were no paddles. There were no sails. It was just her in the boat. And it was very desperate. And then she saw someone coming, walking on the water towards her. This is a true story. And she said, sir, help me. He said, what's wrong? He's walking on the water. He says, who are you? He said, I am Jesus. She said, help me. And she woke up. A couple days later, she had this strange, eerie feeling that she was in the waves again. She opened her eyes in her dream, and all of a sudden, she was in the boat. There were no paddles. There was nothing. She was extremely thirsty. She thought she was going to thirst to death. She knew she couldn't drink the salt water. And then came the man walking on the water. She already knew who he was. This time he got a little closer. He said, sir, Jesus? Yes? I'm so thirsty, I feel like I'm going to die. He came right up to her and said, drink this, and you'll never thirst again. And she woke up. You're not going to believe what happened in the next dream. Same thing. Water, no paddle, no sail, in the water. Now she's hungry. And she's not thirsty anymore. And here comes Jesus. She says to Jesus, I'm hungry. I feel like I'm going to die. I'm hungry. And all of a sudden, Jesus came over closer to the boat. And the fish started jumping in the boat. It was so full that the boat started to sink. And she said, help! He said, stop hating me. Find a Christian. Talk to him. You know how hard it is for a woman who has openly hated and wanted to imprison? You know how hard it is for them to find a Christian? She had some ideas. Finally, she found a Christian who was bold enough to answer her questions, and she got saved. In the Muslim world right now, many Muslims are open to the gospel because they're told to hate Jesus, but Jesus is beginning to reveal himself through dreams and visions to them. I've never heard anyone get saved through the dreams. They just become open to the gospel, and then God sends someone to win them to Christ. And here's what the woman said. She said, now here I am, this person that was just so confident in my Shia Muslim background, and now I'm a follower of Jesus, and I leave that all behind. And it's the first time I had real peace in my life. This evening we're going to look at the book of Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, the whole time. So if you want to look it up in your cell phone or in your Bible, I have my Bible here. It counts if I bring it, but I have everything typed out for me. Philippians chapter 4 has become, I literally wake up, I walk out of my bedroom and it's plastered. These two verses are plastered on my wall to remind me these are verses that I must dwell on every day. Because this person who was as confident as the Shia woman, I thought I could do anything. And I had boldness for Christ. And then all of a sudden, I had some things come into my life. And now I have doubts and fears and worries and anxieties. And I fell in love with Philippians chapter 4. And I believe the Apostle Paul wrote Philippians chapter 4 because he learned the secrets and he wanted to share them with us. The book of Philippians writes a lot about joy. So this could be joy and peace. And it's so funny. I think you're allowed to say Negro spiritual. We sang a Negro spiritual to start. enslaved black men and women. It's a blight that should have never happened, ever. But it happened. And many of them came to Christ in such a real way that they wrote songs like our Peace Like a River is what we started with, right? Got joy like an ocean. The book of Philippians, the whole book, it's almost like it's free counseling for anybody. But I'm going to focus on some parts here. But first I want to talk to you about how bad it is, okay? Like you need to hear this. Health situations are strange. I have an N95 with me. The reason why I was kind of wondering about wearing a mask is I didn't want to offend anybody, but nobody else has them on. But my wife works for a doctor's office, and she wears an N95 because they're around people. Three different people from her work currently have COVID. A local pastor that pastors a church really close to here, Wayne Kerstetter, is just recovering from COVID, and he almost died. Another Methodist pastor at Daniels and three other churches, he died of COVID. So the health situation now is just kind of weird. I've already been vaccinated. I've already had COVID. So you're not going to catch it from me, but I still worry a little bit because of my cough that people will go, he's going to infect me. Health is weird. Death toll is up. The political situation, I mentioned it, 36 different countries I've been to. We keep regular track of 20. I know what's going on in those 20. The whole politics is just a mess. I mentioned this yesterday. The economics in our country, how much higher can gasoline get? Years ago, Barack Obama said $8 a gallon is fine for him. Maybe that's how high it's going to get. And social. Everybody kind of is afraid to be around people. It's causing suicide rates to go up. It's just strange. The emotional stresses. My doctor said to me, the emotional stress of many patients coming to me, they're just overwhelmed. They're fearful. And church attendance. I was talking to Mr. Minium. I appreciate Mr. Minium. He's the guy who keeps me wet. So thank you. I appreciate it. I was talking to him about church, and I said, wouldn't it be awesome to fill this church with 284 people? You know, that could happen. But right now, people are like a little afraid to be around people. It has really taken a toll on church attendance. Some people have wandered, backslidden from the faith. There's no peace in that. When you're away from Jesus, who's the Prince of Peace, you don't have peace. That COVID slide, my daughter, I love her dearly. She's 38 years old. She's my oldest. She used to teach Chinese children English over the internet. And she had students in Wuhan, China. I never knew where Wuhan, China was. And she said to me at Christmas time, she said, there's a disease that's in China. I think it's going to go worldwide. She said it in December. She said, it doesn't seem like they can stop it. And I said, ah, come on. She said, it's just like a common flu. And she goes, well, now, Dad, you keep saying that, you're going to be wrong. So it would be best for you to just not say that anymore. I felt like a schoolboy being schooled by the Chinese teacher. She was right. That slide started showing up around March and April. Politics made it worse than what it was, but it's a pretty serious disease. But there's so much division about it. So how do we just cut that in half and just get rid of it? Peel off the ugly layer so that we can have a peace that passes understanding in Jesus. I think I'm really bad at this. Oh, there it is. I've been to 36 different countries. We're focusing on 20 different countries right now. Here's the problem in all those countries: stress and anxiety. Leaders that are bold, their parents were in prison for preaching the gospel. They have a legacy that's amazing. First ones literally starting to preach the gospel in a country that atheism ruled. And now they're dealing with stress and anxiety. Why? Because they don't know how to handle it. And their country's shutting down the Bible colleges and the Bible schools. And that's their work. That's their ministry. They want to reach people with the gospel, and they're hampered. The government regulations, they come up with rules. It's almost like they're just sit down and write a few more rules, and doesn't seem to be a rhyme or reason. Governments are in upheavals. Many of the countries in the former Soviet Union changed leadership because Vladimir Putin wanted somebody a little more Russian in charge. So he saw the path and forced it. Travel restrictions are just crazy. Ha! And here's what the Apostle Paul says. Philippians 4:6. Are you ready? This is awesome stuff. This applies instantly to your life. Don't worry about anything. Anything? Anything. Instead, see it? This is going to be easy to apply. Instead, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. How many people think worry is a sin? Be careful. How many people think worry is a sin? Okay. Would you be comfortable? One said worry is a sin. She's going to stand firm on that. Would you be comfortable if I said to you, the beginning of worry is a reminder from God to tread lightly. And then when you allow it to start eating away at you, it becomes the sin. It becomes the worry. Now, let me just try to prove it to you here a little bit. Okay, don't worry about anything. So all of us have like a flight. Like if a grizzly bear was in here, I'd be out that door so fast it wasn't funny. So we have this flight mode. Because we don't just stand there and let the grizzly bear eat us. Now, there is a possibility, because I am this type of person, that I might look at everybody else and go, would you get out? I'll try to hold the thing off for a little while, and then I'm going to run. When something that is bothering us is starting to well up in us, it's starting to cause us to have fear. It's almost like there's a little white man on the one shoulder, a little black guy on the other shoulder, and just like this, and one is whispering, I'm right there with you. I am the Holy Spirit of God. I am power in every circumstance. Stand firm. And the other one's saying, you can't do that. And it tries to get us to spin into the cycle of worry, which is definitely sin. I personally believe This is exactly how I'm applying. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Here's how I'm applying it. When I start to have something that's starting to make me worry, I go, oh, I literally see it like a carbon monoxide thing that's buzzing. There's carbon monoxide in here. Or like a fire alarm, when the fire alarm goes. Isn't it kind of funny when a fire alarm goes off, you first you go, I wonder if there is a fire, and you look around for smoke. I was in a church. I'm not kidding you. This was so funny, it wasn't funny. I'm preaching. Yeah, and I'm preaching, and the fire alarms go off. And I go, I don't see any smoke, and I'm preaching. And everybody was looking around, and I was like, oh, I lost the whole audience. How am I going to get it back? And then the preacher's wife comes running in, there's a fire. And I'm like going, okay. And then right after her, the head elder comes up and goes, I got it out. I'm like, I don't think this sermon's going to go well at all. So then I told, what I always do, whenever there's a major distraction in church, I tell the story about his eye is on the sparrow and I know he's watching you. A preacher came up with that hymn based upon a sparrow. It flew into his church and was competing with him, and everybody just listened to the sparrow instead of him. So he said, I guess I'm going to write a hymn. So I just said, okay, there was a fire, there's not a fire, and then the smoke started billowing in the building, and then they turned on the fans, and I was like, ah. And right after that, the Holy Spirit just took over. So when the fire alarm goes off, how about when the idiot light in the car comes on? I know how to fix that. A little piece of black electrical tape. Just put that over that there. Fixed. My son said to me the other day, my check engine light came on. I'm just going to keep driving it. Those lights come on all stupid. And the next day, the car left him sit. How about the blink? You know those places that don't have blinking red lights? We got them. I like them. Because I think it's the person who's the boldest gets to go first. You come up there, and all four of you stop at the same time. I'm going. Unless I'm super spiritual, and then I just go, I think I'll let everybody go. That hardly ever happens. All right, now back to serious here. When you start to have this feeling of deep breath and fear, no matter what's causing it, maybe you messed up. Maybe you sinned. Maybe somebody's hurt. Maybe you're sick. Maybe you're getting bad news from the doctor. Maybe it's just because you let things bother you too much. And there are some people that don't let anything bother them. And then there are some people that process everything. My wife processes everything. I'm like, does it really matter? And she goes, it does to me. And I'm going, okay, I'll try to have it matter to me too. What happens if they don't have tomatoes? Yeah, but I can tomatoes. It's like, right? So, you see, some people have this, and God created them that way. And we need the doubting Thomases because they ask the strong questions. Do you know the great verse of Scripture that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus, declaring he's the only way to heaven, came because doubting Thomas said, how do we know the way? I'm so glad that he asked that question. So now when something is in your life and it starts eating at you, as soon as you recognize it, say, well, I really can't do anything about that. That's too big. And say, Lord, power went off. It's been 10 hours, and I'm starting to worry about my freezer. There's nothing else I can do. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me guidance on what's my next step. Hopefully you didn't wait till the 10 hours. But I wouldn't start to worry about it till around the 10-hour mark. So I'd think, PPNL's coming. Going to be fixed soon. So that's just a simple one. Maybe it's one of your loved ones having marital problems. Maybe it's one of your children that's very sick, or your father that's really sick, or your wife that's really sick. Maybe it's one of your loved ones who's terribly against Jesus, seethes against Jesus, like the woman, the Shia woman. When you start to worry, have the worry, identify it, and then have the worry become an alarm system, a red light going off, a check engine coming on. I still have difficulties with this. This actually happened. I got this phone call when I was a senior pastor at Richfield Life, Richfield Mennonite, used to be Richfield Mennonite. It was the youth pastor, and he said, "Oh, Paul, one of the most difficult things that ever happened in ministry happened to me last night. And I still get overwhelmed by this." Here's what he told me. He said, we're here at the camp, and I've been to the camp many times. He said, "It was really cold last night. So the guy went around and turned on all the heaters. The woman's dorm had a gas heater. And around 3 o'clock in the morning, the 22 girls that were in the gas heated thing, one of them woke up throwing up. Oh, I thank the Lord that that girl was super sensitive to gas. And the nurse that was along, just happened to be along as one of the chaperones, she thought she smelled something. She had a splitting headache. But she almost passed it by, and then she thought, I wonder if there's a carbon monoxide meter in here. She looked around, she kept smelling, she thought she smelled a very faint, and they got out, and the got everybody awake and got everybody out of the building. They were all headachy and sick. One more hour, and I would have had 22 funerals. A bunch of teenagers. A couple of adults. I still worry about that. It didn't even happen. But that's how quick, that's how easy something could happen. That would just change your life 100%. When you start to have this welling up, don't let it birth into sin, into worry, into grief, and weigh you down. Begin to just give it to Jesus. I'm not kidding you. There's times that I go, "It's here again, Lord. I'm starting to worry about the exact same thing. I'm going to give it to you again. I'm going to keep giving it to you until I finally give it to you." Because it comes back. It tries to get you again. My one son, I told you a little bit about this. His wife, while on the mission field, left him for another man. I still just get overwhelmed for him at all times because he unloads on us. Just constantly lay that anxiety before the Lord. And I've grown because I found that what God was allowing in my life didn't want it to happen. He didn't want my son to go through the throes of divorce. But Jesus said, "I won't leave you alone in the midst of this. I'm going to guide you right through it. And on the other side, you're going to go, God gets the glory." I'm going to try this again. I'm worried it's not going to work. That's a joke. Oh, it worked. Here it is, Philippians 4:7. Then, once you learn the process of identifying the anxiety, the worry, and praying and leaving it at God's feet, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. People are going to be scratching their heads and going, how can that guy have so much joy? His life really isn't going that well. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Because you won't understand it, but I have peace no matter what. Literally, that's what the Apostle Paul's saying here. His peace will, ready for this, he'll guard your hearts. The heart is the seat of the emotion. It's what gets emotionally. My mother said that I was her most emotional child. When I would see somebody hurting, you know, if I would watch a movie that was scary, I'd have nightmares the whole night. I still do. I don't even understand horror movies. I would not even think about watching a horror movie because it bothers me. The peace of God will guard your heart. This is like a garrison of angels, like was prayed before our service, going around my heart and around my mind. Because I'm recognizing I'm pulling the weeds out. When the negative is trying to be sown, I say, that's a Jesus thing. That's too big for me. I'm going to give that to Jesus because I can't do it. And then I'm just going to take a step and move forward. Because you don't want to be the Christian just sitting there. I've been mad at so many parishioners of mine in churches, by the way. This is a pet peeve of mine. They'll say, you know, we have to pray for the lost. Oh, I started to get ruffled. We have to pray for the lost. They said, you got to reach the lost. The Bible says you need to go and speak my name to the lost. So I believe when you're praying about the lost, you're going while you're praying to reach the lost, or the lost are going to be lost. Because how will they hear without a preacher? How would you even plan that one? He'll guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You have to learn to live right next to the Savior, the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the all-powerful, almighty one. His Spirit comes and resides in you when you come to know Jesus as your personal Savior. It's a big deal. Then, as you begin to have a prayer life, you start to be able to say, I have this anxiety, I have this fear, I have cancer that they say might kill me. My mother has cancer, they say it might kill her. Whatever it is, take it to the Lord. You gotta identify it though. Don't let it eat you alive. Last night I crawled in bed. My wife had a colonoscopy. If you don't know what that is, you're under the age of 50. You're going to find out sooner or later. My granddaughter said, well, why were you in the hospital? I had a colonoscopy. And she goes, well, what's a colonoscopy? And the 7-year-old, she laughed. She didn't even want to know. The 10-year-old wanted, what's a colonoscopy? And Mary Ann was trying to explain to her in very nice language what a colonoscopy. I'm not kidding you. I just rolled over in bed in the middle of the night last night. Marianne goes, you awake? Haven't slept a bit. I said, why? Worried about my colonoscopy. I said, well, that's going to happen tomorrow whether you worry about it or not. I'm a very insensitive man. That's right. Pray. Huh? I had prayed before we went to bed, but it wasn't something that she took, and I just went back to sleep. But she was praying. She literally said to me, I'm sitting here praying about it. I said, well, then you're doing the right thing. She was just concerned, you know. It's just, she's the type of person that she thinks about everything 100%. I don't think about it until I'm right there. Just that's my chemical makeup. All right. Is that my last one? Is that my last slide? No, I think I have another one. Okay, there it is. Okay. Oh, wow, it's 8 o'clock. I'm so sorry. Okay, we got to the motorcycle at least. Have a stroke, and I'm worried that I won't ever be able to ride my motorcycle again because I have a little balance issue and a little eye issue. And that's a heavy motorcycle. It's an old 86 Honda Goldwing. What do preachers afford? Well, a new Goldwing is around $35,000. A 1986 is only $2,000. That's what I'm going to buy. It goes about the same, a little rougher maybe, but it's awesome. So three, when I was allowed to drive again, didn't tell my wife, she was at work, I took it for a 5-mile ride, and I survived. And I was scared to death the whole time I was on it, but I didn't tell her. Just put it in the garage because it was October and put it in the garage, didn't use it till the spring. Then I started watching YouTube videos on how to learn how to ride a heavy motorcycle. Because I just didn't feel like I had the balance correct. So I was watching these things, and I took it out for another ride, and it went pretty good and better. But I almost wrecked it in the driveway because my driveway has, like you saw, it has a little orange cone there. Has this area that wants to wash out. And so I have a sandbag there and a little orange cone. It has a culvert. And every time I came up my driveway, like 10 times in a row, I almost went right into the culvert. Well, got out the trusty YouTube and I put, how do you steer around obstacles on a heavy motorcycle? There are like 30 videos on that. Guess what they say? Stop looking at what you're trying to miss. That was a great revelation. Stop, look where you want to go. Well, I'm going to try that. I literally got my motorcycle, went down the driveway, went a little loop, came back, didn't look at the culvert, which was what I was doing because I was worried I was going to hit the culvert. Started looking on the far left of my driveway. And guess where the motorcycle went? On the far left part of the driveway. So now I'm hoping 2 more years of motorcycle riding, 50 years without an accident, that'd be pretty good. Then I better give it up because I'm old. So keep your eyes. Where are your eyes? Your eyes on your problems? Are you gripped with fear? Are you worried about your loved one that doesn't know Jesus? Are you worried that they might get mad at you if you share Jesus with them? Well, take all that to the Lord. We must have our focus not on the issues at hand, but on the Savior who promised. Now I think I'm at the end. Philippians 4:11-13. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Now this follows him talking about anxiety and giving it to the Lord. Now he says, I've learned to be content in whatever situation I have in my life. He says, I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything, because sometimes rich people would invite him to stay at his house and stay over for a couple weeks, and he'd have lavish food, and then he'd move on to where the Holy Spirit took him next, and they had to make tents to make a living. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. Here it is. I have learned the secret. Here it is, the secret. The secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Did you know that Philippians 4:13 followed the Apostle Paul saying that I've learned how to deal with every circumstance that comes my way? Whether I have a whole bunch or not. Because I live in the power of Christ. Heavenly Father, begin right now in our lives to help us identify. We have to soul search. We have to identify what is in the way of a mighty awakening, a supernatural Holy Spirit of God taking a hold of us, quickening us, and making us alive so we can arise, my love. Imagine, I think that the Heavenly Father is saying to us, arise, my love, to us. Because we're so often just laying there in the dead bones, and we've been given the opportunity to rise and stand firm on you. Lord, help each person. Lord, the altar's open as we close in song. Help each person to begin to identify the things. Allow that alarm to go off in their head when they start to just mull over the things that are going wrong, and then give them to you and watch you break the chains. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. I'll give you 5 minutes tomorrow night, I promise. I'm going to try my best to end at 5 of. Sorry.